House, please come to order. The chief clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson, Bagby,
here.
Barbuto,
here.
Berger,
here.
Blake,
here.
Bonner,
here.
Frechtel,
here.
Brown,
here.
Buchanan,
here.
Bird,
here.
Kennedy,
here.
Kennedy,
here.
Carson,
here.
Childers,
here.
Cohey,
here.
Connolly, Kraft,
here.
Davison,
here.
Dirks,
here.
Edmonds,
here.
Esquivel,
here.
Gilmore,
here.
Gingery,
here.
Goggles,
here.
Hales,
here.
Hallinan,
here.
Hammonds,
here.
Harshman,
Harshman, here.
Harvey,
here.
Illaway,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Jorgensen,
here.
Landon,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Lubno,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
McComey,
here.
Mercer,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Miller,
here.
Millen, Millen, Millen,
here.
Moniz,
here.
Patton,
here.
Peasley,
here.
Pedersen,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Philp,
here.
Korberg,
here.
Roscoe,
here.
Simlek,
here.
Shepperson,
here.
Stewart,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Teeters,
here.
Thompson,
here.
Throne,
here.
Wallace,
here.
Zwanitz or Dan,
here.
Zwanitz or Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
60 present.
The prayer today is given by Dr. Roger Arand from North Christian Church in Cheyenne. Roger, thank you for being with us this week.
My pleasure. Would you join me as we pray? Lord God and Father, once again, we come before you to recognize that you are the one that has created us and that you have given us this day of life. Once again, I thank you for the opportunity of being here this day, being able to pray for these folks, being mindful that there are those here today who have been away from family and friends for a good long time. And so, Lord, we pause and thank you for their sacrifice. Lift up to you the family and friends left behind and pray that your Spirit will draw them closer to you. We've all heard in this last year the rhetoric of a change that we can believe in. And Lord, it's quite obvious that indeed there needs to be change. Our nation more and more is headed away from you and your directives and your principles on which this country was founded. I believe it's time for Christians to take a stand, to speak up and be counted. I also believe, Lord, that even though Wyoming is a small state within the Union, that we oftentimes have been the state that has set direction and guidance for the rest of the Union. So I pray, Lord, that you give us a vision of what you want a people to be and how you want a people to live. A state that would seek and follow your principles, because the farther we get from you, the fewer blessings we will have. So, Lord, these folks here are involved today in doing that very thing, and I pray for your Spirit's work among them to this very end. Lord, today there are people here who belong to you, as well as some that may not. I pray for all concerned that your Spirit be at work in each and every one to bring us all closer to you, because it's only in being close to you that life truly makes sense. So, Lord, we give you this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, I pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Roger.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
See you again someday.
All right.
shaking hands with everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to recognize a couple guests with us today. We have Director General Liao and Jason Huang from the Taipei Economic and Cultural Office in Seattle. They were here last night, and we just met with them this morning with House and Senate leadership. And thank you for being here, gentlemen. Wonderful to have you here. The nurse of the day is nurses of the day are Betsy Hartman from Cheyenne and Donna Hayes from the Riverton Public Health. And the doctor of the day is not Dr. John Barrasso. Representative Hallinan, you may have privilege of the floor. Representative Hallinan is going to announce the doctor of the day.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had to come up to the front to do this. It isn't often, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker, the legislature leaves any problem of Wyoming unsolved. We finally selected the state butterfly, the state insect, filling one of the last voids in our purview. But we have the opportunity to complete our chore, perhaps in the next year's budget session. And we have a nominee right here in this room, Mr. Chairman. I want to reassure my colleagues who suffer from arachnophobia that I'm not speaking of a spider under your desk or in your desk drawer. No, Mr. Chairman. I'm speaking of a new category. It's in the category of a rare and beleaguered species. I'm sure by now you all have guessed what that species is. The doctor legislator who was a World War II combat surgeon. That's our next chore. And here is my nominee for that honor, and that's Dr. George P. McMurtry. And he's...
Dr. McMurtry, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colin, it's great to be here. It's great to see all my old friends and new friends as well, and to know that the state of Wyoming is once again in great and good hands and are doing a great job for our state and for your constituents, I hope, hopefully. Anyway, it's great to be here. I just wish you all the very best in your endeavors. And keep up the good work, and I know that you will. And I can tell that my 10 years in this body was a great experience, and I'm sure you're all having the same. So good luck to you all, and it's great to see you.
Thank you, George. Thanks for being here. need to do a couple brief administrative things. Journal committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports that the journal of February 19th has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Moniz, Representative Barbuto.
Messages from the Senate.
Message number 284. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 140, Annuity Premium Tax, ayes 15, noes 15. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 286. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 43, Military Department Leasing Fee, ayes 10, noes 20. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 287, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 46, School District Facility Lease Fees Limitations, ayes 26, noes 4, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 32, Wyoming Livestock Health and Emergency Disease Program. The Senate failed to concur on the House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Ayes 0, noes 30. The Senate requests the House appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 111, First Responder Retirement Contributions. The Senate failed to concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Ayes 0, noes 30. The Senate requests the House appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Message 290, Mr. Speaker, Senate File 53, Property Tax Deferral Program. The Senate failed to concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Ayes 1, noes 29. The Senate requests the House appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. It is my great pleasure today to introduce to you one of our former colleagues in the legislature and now our junior U.S. Senator from Wyoming, Senator John Barrasso. Senator, come on out, please.
Thank you.
How long will you go?
You got a minute.
I've got a minute. All right.
As long as you will.
I asked Colin how much time I had. He said, you have time for a medical minute. So... Those can go for a while. You know that, Stan? They really can. It is really great to be back home here in Wyoming, the home of sanity and common sense. And it's a long way from Washington, and I'll tell you, it's terrific. Bobby sends her greetings and wants to thank you for all you've done over the years with the Susan Komen Race for the Cure and all our efforts with that. It is great to be back home. Al Simpson used to talk about his favorite days were the days serving in the Wyoming legislature, and there is a truism to that. These were your true friends, the folks that you looked to for advice, got leadership from, and I continue to do that. I'm sure other people are listening, but I still have kept my email address from the legislature, so if you need to get to me, you can. I hear from you occasionally. I have a cell phone in my pocket. Lockhart has the number. I know Lorraine has the number. Elaine Harvey has the number. But the email address is interesting because I don't hear from many people. I heard from Lori Millen when she wanted tickets for the inauguration for her husband. And happy to do it, and he had a great time. Kathy Davidson's grandson emailed me and said, I got this from my grandmom. I have an assignment for school. I need to hear from a United States senator asking about the bailout. Give me some information. It doesn't have to be good, but I need it by tomorrow morning. So it is always wonderful to hear from my friends in the legislature. I've been traveling the state. We're off for the week. Started Sandra in Evanston, visiting at the high school, at the Rotary Club, and going around the community. And then to Kemmerer, up to a town meeting at the Moondance Diner in LaBarge. And then Green River and Rock Springs, where I got to present a Purple Heart to a man who had earned that from the Korean War. And he just felt at the time he didn't deserve it, he said, because he had friends who died. And now his family said, this is important. You know, you think about what we get to do as legislators, and the mayor of Green River and the mayor of Rock Springs were there for this celebration and to thank this gentleman. So those are the things that make this job so worthwhile. To thank so many great folks. We had our veterans groups there, and then from there to Rollins and to Laramie and to Rock River here, and then for any of you who would like to join me, I'm having lunch in Pine Bluffs at the Senior Center today. We'd love to have you there as well. And what you do, the wonderful thing is you get to do what we all do, which is go home and listen to our constituents. And the number one question that they come up, whether you're talking at a senior center or at a high school or at a civic club or at a town meeting or to veterans groups, they say, what's going on in Washington? Tell us about this stimulus package, number one, and then tell us what's in it for Wyoming. Many of you know that Mike Enzi and Cynthia Lemus and I all voted against this package. We thought it was too big, spent too much, and we were looking for something that we could actually vote for. But the bill didn't come out onto the floor of the United States Senate until last Friday, and we were supposed to vote on it on Friday, and they did vote on it Friday afternoon in the House, Friday evening in the Senate. There was one copy, 1,400 pages, and wanted us to vote immediately. I went to the Senate floor, just like all of us do, go to the podium and say, you know, this is something that we ought to have time to read. You ought to make a copy available to every member of the Senate in the House and have them read it on the way home, and then have town meetings all around their home state or district, and then come back in a week and vote on it. And I think if that would have happened, this bill, when we get back there, would not have passed, but something would have passed, something that was more timely and more targeted and temporary. This is the largest spending bill in the history of the United States, and only 22% of the money is going to be spent in this year. 78% of the money is the year 2010 and beyond, some of it not for 8 or 9 years. So people ask the question, what is in it for Wyoming? The press has been asking. We've been in constant communication through my office as well as Senator Enzi's office with Lynn Bumgarner, who the governor has appointed, working closely with everyone. But in a 1,400-page bill, and all the answers aren't in there because they say, you know, use the formula from some other law that passed some other time. The money from Wyoming is in a number of different criteria. Some are going to be grants. Some are going to be things that we can apply for if we choose. Some are going to be with strings attached. Others are going to be for projects and programs which involve a state match, like the Medicaid program. The Medicaid program has $110 million in it for Wyoming, but it's over the next 9 quarters. So you're talking about spread out over the next 2.25 years. There's money for the State Stabilization Fiscal Fund, $82 million there. EPA funding, about $39 million there. Education, as you start adding these all up, housing, law enforcement, social programs, transportation, highways, which I'm very interested in as my former role as the chairman of the Transportation Committee, $157 million there. Some money, another $9 million for transit, worker training. You get through all of these and you do a running total. And you get a running total and the number is actually over $500 million. We're at $540 million at this point, which is what we're counting. But we continue to work and fine-tune this because the devil is in the details. And we are right as a people of Wyoming to say we will decide what money we take and what money we do not take. We have a long history in this state of telling Washington and telling the federal government no. If their vision is not our vision, if their values are not our values, we get to decide that. Washington doesn't get to dictate. Wyoming gets to decide. So the only advice that I would have for all of you today is do what we've always done. Don't ever let Washington dictate. Let Wyoming decide what we want to do when it comes to this money. The only other thing I want to say, and I know many of you are very involved in this, we're going to deploy almost 1,000 troops overseas in the next couple of months. It is the largest deployment in the history of our great state, and that's going to impact every community of Wyoming. So if you know anyone that's going, please thank them. If you know anyone who's serving, please thank them. And the impact is not just on those who are going, but also on their families, on their children, on their spouses, husband or wives. So anything you can do to make their life better and help them, I would ask you to do that. And in closing, I'd like to share a little bit of a bipartisan message that was brought by a partisan individual to Wyoming. It was Ronald Reagan when he came to Wyoming in Story Gym right here in Cheyenne. And the thing he said about Wyoming, he said, the thing I love about Wyoming and the Rocky Mountain West, he said, the people here in Wyoming still believe that the future is ours to shape. And I know as members of the Wyoming legislature, we truly do believe that. We have a vision and values, and that's what's going to shape our future, not Washington, D.C. Thank you very much for letting me be with you today. Thank you.
Thank you for being here, Senator. We always appreciate seeing you and appreciate the hard work you do for Wyoming and the fact that you travel so extensively and extend yourself personally. Thank you for that. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Okay, reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, has reviewed the Senate File 1. Pursuant to Joint Rule 14, the following lists are provided. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman.
Senate File 1 is referred to third reading. Pursuant to Rule 14.1F. And that's because that's the way we do it. Right before we do bills on second reading. And Senate File 42. Oh, I'm sorry. He's got some.
That's
more.
Okay. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 48, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Brown, Childers, Connolly, Davison, Yagi, Millen, Shepperson, Thompson. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred Senate File 74, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Crowley, Gilmore, Allenin, Madden, Peterson, Zwanitzer, Dave, excused, McKim, signed, representing Crowley, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred Senate File 90, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Cohey, Madden, McKim, Peterson, Zwanitzer, Dave, No, Gilmore, Hallinan, signed, Representative Cohey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 98, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Cohey, Gilmore, Hallinan, Madden, McKim, Peterson, Zwanitzer, Dave, signed, Representative Cohey, Chairman.
Now, bills on second reading. And Senate File 42.
Senate File 42, introduced by the Local Government and Act relating to the Legislature Select Committee on Local Government Financing.
House Bill 42, or Senate File 42, have been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 69.
Senate File 69, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to fertilizers.
Senate File 69. Must have an amendment, huh? Representative Patton. You have an amendment on Senate File 69, Representative Patton. Representative Semlich. Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I move second reading amendment number one to Senate File 69. The good representative from the Sheridan area is name is on this amendment in first position. It was his insight in regard to the fertilizer bill in that language there you find on the first page. He just felt that there was a better way to certify when those federal rules went into place so that our state management plan for rules and regulations on controlling ammonium nitrate could go into effect. And our staff commended him for his insight into this, and this was the proper way to do it. And I also commend him for it and would ask that you would support this amendment.
Anyone else? Calling the question on second reading amendment number one to House Senate File 69. Please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Second reading amendment number one to Senate File 69 is passed.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem. Privilege of the floor.
Can we finish this bill up first?
Thank you.
Senate File 69 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Representing Peasley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, pro tem. Several times my sensitivity has been called into question, and today I'd like to introduce two fine ladies from Douglas, Wyoming, who are here to attest to my being a very sensitive little fuzzball. Our clerk of the district court, be quiet back there. The clerk of the district court, Jill Winters, and our deputy clerk of court, Barbie Harris, would the House please acknowledge two ladies who stand up for me?
Thank you for coming to the legislature, and thank you for your service to the state. Senate File 73.
Senate File 73, introduced by Senator Hines, an act relating to the Water Development Gillette-Madison Pipeline Project.
Senate File 73, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 104.
Senate File 104, introduced by Senator Johnson, an act relating to group life insurance limitation on dependent coverage.
Senate File 104, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? It is so ordered. Senate File 124.
Senate File 124, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act relating to public funds, education, reserve funding.
And we have an amendment, Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I move second reading amendment number one to House Senate File 124. And I'll explain my logic behind this amendment. I think we need to have a discussion about school finance. And what this bill does, it takes money that's left in the school foundation account at the present time and sweeps everything but $100 million over into the school capital construction account and then takes what hasn't been spent after a period of time and takes 50% of that and puts it into the permanent land fund, I believe it is. I never remember all these funds' names. that we earn interest on like we do. It's the equivalent of the permanent rental trust fund for the school foundation accounts. And with this downturn in our economy, I'm a little concerned that living with this $100 million, we were doing this when we came down here and we had several hundreds of millions or billion dollars in reserves, extra money that we, so to speak, that we thought we had. And so the sweep and making it just $100 million left in the school foundation account makes me a little nervous when we come back to the next session. And we start into our budget session for 2 years. So I'm just asking the body to think about this and consider, do we want to sweep that down to $100 million again, given the economy that we're looking at? Or do you want to leave it at $200 million and sweep less money over to the school construction account? Now, we have already satisfied all of those buildings that were critical, the ones with the asbestos and all this. There's some of them still out there, but they're already profiled and the money's already set aside for them in the $1.2 billion we've already spent on school construction. So I'd like the body to consider this amendment as more or less of a policy statement, if nothing else.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand what the intent of this is, and it's about the concern of our revenue projections in the future. My concern is that if we really do hit the wall with this, is $100 million really going to make a difference when we're spending $1.3 billion a year? And I think the purpose of this was to flush more money back into school capital construction because the COLES bid bonuses are not coming in like we anticipated that they would. And I think that climate is only going to continue to become more hostile. So $100 million will build quite a few schools, but it won't go very far towards funding education. And I guess that would be my comment.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I appreciate the good chairman bringing this amendment. I really just think it's probably unnecessary. The money's not going to go anywhere until we decide to allow it. I mean, we're going to get two looks at it before it would ever sweep. And I would just think that we're probably not going to sweep very much. We're going to need that, and we're going to say we want to put it into other uses. You know, I brought it up in a joint appropriations about, well, let's make that number 500. It really doesn't do anything except kind of limit you a little bit, and so removes a little flexibility. The $100 million actually was put in there when we started the Hathaway program with excess school foundation program. So it's a number that everybody's kind of comfortable with, gives us some backup. But I guess I would just say that it's probably unnecessary. That money is not going to sweep until we've had to look at it twice. And I think that's a, you know, prudent, and it gives us flexibility to move it wherever we might need it. So on and against the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. My question is, although we have addressed all of the immediate needs schools, have we addressed all the needs? For instance, in my part of the world, there's a school building that has yet to be torn down. And so I think there are still commitments to communities that we need to consider before we sweep some funds. So my question is, have all the needs been met?
Anybody else for the first time? Anybody for their second time before the sponsor? Representative McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and this is what I wanted to stimulate is a little bit of discussion. An answer to the school that needs to be torn down, or maybe the schools that need to be built out there, and what we're spending on education. But we decided as a body what we were going to put in our cost formula and how it was going to be designed, and we'll revisit that in 2011, biennium away from here. But I've just got one question I want to ask you. What's more important, the children or the bricks and mortar? Thank you.
Okay. Question being called on. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 124. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion, the amendment failed. Senate File 124, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 146.
Senate File 146, introduced by Senator Nicholas, an act relating to the National Center for Atmospheric Research, NCAR supercomputer funding.
Senate File 146, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. Privilege of the floor.
Privilege of the floor.
Thank you. Friends and neighbors, I'd like you to welcome Tammy Sue and her Tommy Sue and her fifth grade class from Little Snake Valley. Tommy does a great job with her kids. She brings them over every year, and we're just darn lucky to have her there over in Bags working with our kids.
Now I'm, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
I'm just waiting for you to tell me we're at the third reading consent list.
Okay, first of all, we're at third reading on the budget bill. The Senate file only on the first day, which is pursuant to Joint Rule 14-1F1, Senate File 2 is placed directly on the third reading for the purpose of straw poll votes on Senate amendments. In accordance with Joint Rule, Representative Berger. What we'll do right now is go through the straw poll process, and Representative Berger will explain the Senate amendments to the budget bill.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. And what I just want to make certain that all of you have, and I've been trying to feed you some of this information over the last couple of days so you could have a chance to go back and look at House Bill 1 and compare the amendments between what we did last week and what the Senate did. And I'll just do a show and tell quick, but you first had received on Wednesday a long sheet that had a breakdown of the amendments that dealt with what were identical with the House and the Senate, and then on that first page what were similar amendments, and then the back of that had where we differed. And even in most of the amendments where we differed between the House and the Senate, we're actually fairly close. So there's just a few things that are different there. Then the two pieces of information that you should have received this morning is the official standing committee report, which has the amendments in numerical order, and the brief synopsis of the Senate amendments is on a one-pager where we show the identical Senate amendments and then the non-identical. And what I'd like to do, if it is all right with the body, is just to go over the non-identical Senate amendments. And then just to further this explanation, there will be a conference committee chosen from the House and from the Senate, and it is our intentions to start meeting on Monday, the 23rd of February, to discuss what will first typically happens. For those of you that have not experienced this, is we'll go through and discuss the identical ones. They'll go off the table immediately. We will then just work on those that are similar and make certain that we compromise on those, and they go away. And then what we end up with are just those tough decisions that we have between the House and the Senate, which are few at this time but can consume some time. We will then come back to you with a report of hopefully a consensus, and then the staff will work up those amendments, and then we will vote on the bill on Friday the 27th, and hopefully we'll pass that bill out, and then it will move forward to the governor's office for his review and signature, so that hopefully by the time we leave, which I think is going to be about March 6th, we will have an approved and balanced budget. So, let's get started. The first amendment that we have, which was the fifth amendment, so with the game and fish, and that was just changing the reporting date for the sage-grouse study from October to April. The next one has to do with case management with the judicial branch, and I think most of you remember that. Some of these are going to sound really familiar to you because we either put them in a different format or we voted them down, but so the information is going to sound somewhat familiar. But with the new computerized case management system that we are doing throughout the state with the data collection, what the Senate did was add on information being recorded for juveniles, and as many of you know, we are working on a juvenile justice system and improving on that, and one of the senators found that that was important to have, so that's where we're at. The next amendment, which the next two deal with the University of Wyoming with our AML funds, and we have this amendment, and basically we were going to separate out an endowment that will start with the School of Ag and then a reclamation project, and that is this amendment. So it's basically just identifying that there will be 500,000 used for reclamation to start with, and then they'll use the other 1.5 million as seed money to start an endowment program, and their hopes is to grow that to $20 million. The next one, Amendment 2019, again with the university, has to do with reversion dates, and if you recall, I had a two-page amendment on that dealing with all the dates extending out or adjusting AML appropriations that we've pledged with projects with the University of Wyoming. And what we decided to do was to leave that open on the House side so we could get more information on those funds and then go into committee and work with the Senate on all of those projects and just have a little more assurance as to the direction that we are going with those projects. And then 2025 actually gets deleted and is actually supported by an amendment down further. Let me see, I had it circled. I'll get to it, but basically it has to do with the stimulus package that we've all been discussing. I'm sorry, it's 3022, so it's the third one from the bottom. And really it was really quite nebulous. Again, we had that amendment. We withdrew it so that we could continue the conversation on the stimulus package. As you know, each day we're getting new information, and we really don't know yet for the state of Wyoming what we'll be able to take advantage of. And what we're trying to do is to work with the governor's office, the legislative body, and the different agencies as to the directive and what we can manage with these monies do become available, and when, I guess, is most important, and how we can use those. And most definitely it's going to occur after we leave Cheyenne March 6th. So we just need to have a plan in place, and hopefully by the time we finish the conference, we will have enough information to solidify the direction that we can take and work on that. So that's what that amendment does, and we just didn't do it so that we could have that conversation. The next one is with the Department of Health, Developmental Disabilities, and it has to do with doing the research. We did have this debate in regard to dual diagnoses, and that was on with the Senate, and we're going to continue to have that research done. No money's involved, but just to deal with dual diagnoses, to have the Division of Developmental Disabilities continue looking at the cost of providing that service there, because with the Navigant study, we really didn't have enough information, it is believed, to actually have a good handle on that funding for that service. The next one has to do with the Department of Health, and it had to do with a priority system of how we were actually going to direct the Department of Health to address Medicaid and the usage of those funds. And we will have more conversation on there, because that is one of the areas where we, with the stimulus package that's being discussed, there are some other strings that could be attached, and we may need to really move around a little bit on how we manage this reserve of funds. The $20 million that we have, we also have, you'll see it further on down, but the reversions of vacancies was $5 million, if you recall, and then we had the other 100 series monies, which was about $11 million. So we had put a list together of how we wanted the Department of Health to manage those funds, and this actually just prioritized substance abuse and mental health services. So we will work on that issue, and I will keep you apprised as to how we may have to maneuver there. And then the next one is the same with the dual diagnoses. And we go down to the next one, where we had an amendment also dealing with the, which is, we're on 3010 now with the Department of Health 48, and it's the $1 million to increase availability for Medicaid reimbursement for primary care. And we, I believe, had $2 million there, so we will work on that. That particular issue. And then the next one is the senior centers around the state of Wyoming. In the 09-10 budget, we had appropriated a great deal of money, but there seemed to be some disparities. And we had the discussion in December and January, and again here on the floor, and the Senate put on the $375,000 to compensate some of those disparities. And so we'll work on that with some more formulas there. And then I've kind of discussed already 3018 in Section 302 of the Section 300s about the 100 series with the Department of Health. And there again, we have to deal with the dates, because with the stimulus package, if we were to receive some of those funds, we may have to do something differently to work with that and take advantage of it. At the same time, we want to make certain that we can get a better handle on those expenditures. So we'll hope for some good discussion there. And then the next one is, again, dealing with our higher education endowment and our college endowments. We also have a bill, House Bill 155, and when we were preparing our amendments, we didn't catch this. And so we just need to address it, that if House Bill 155 passes through the Senate, that we then adjust it in our current budget proposal. And then we also had the School of Energy Resources, which is Amendment 3021, and that has to deal with the nuclear and the uranium and the production, and there's some differences between the House and the Senate, and I think we can get that refined once we meet on that. Again, on 3022, this is the actual amendment that deletes 2025. And then the 3024 is that giving authorization to use up to $2 million in GF or federal funds for with the stimulus package for reduction of the developmental disabilities children's waiver. And the last one's really important, 3025, and that has to deal with making certain we have an oversight committee on the state office building exterior. We just don't want it to be ugly, and the Senate has a real concern with that. So I'm hoping we can clear that one up fairly quickly on that. And ladies and gentlemen, I would stand for questions.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Speaker Pro Tem and Madam Chairman. On line 19 of your sheet, had to do with the amendment 2025.
Mm-hmm.
And you commented that it was being moved down to 3022. Did we not have a House bill that worked with the stimulus package, and what happened to that?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem and Representative. That's yes, that's a good question. We did, and we withdrew it because we knew that the stimulus package language that we were going to need was like a moving target. And so in order for us to continue to have a conversation and not have an identical amendment, we needed to pull ours so that when we meet next week with more information, we can refine the amendment that is on the Senate side, and then we will hopefully come to an agreement and have one for the House side too.
Okay. Representative McComey.
This is a shocking microphone, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I get shocked every time I touch it.
We do too, Representative McComey.
I set myself up for that one, didn't I? Maybe I wasn't paying attention, but I didn't hear you talk about the report to JAC about state health, employee health, and health care benefits compared to the private sector.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, and thank you, Representative Chairman McComey. I did overlook that one, and thank you for bringing that to my attention. And as you know, we've been working on a state employee compensation package, and it's my understanding that on the Senate side, they just really like to have that comparison on health benefits between the private sector and the state, and put that into this continued conversation of benefits.
Any further questions of Representative Berger? Okay. Thank you, Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
There being no further amendments to Senate File 2 under budget bill procedures specified in Joint Rule 14-1. There being no further amendments to Senate File 1 under budget bill procedures specified in Joint Rule 14-1, Senate File 1 is referred directly to a conference committee of 5 members from each House to meet to resolve the differences between the Houses with respect to both budget bills, House Bill 1 and Senate File 1. Okay. Now, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business, bills on third and final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I would move consideration of third reading consent list consisting of Senate File 6, 16, 85, and Senate Joint Resolution 5. There's an amendment on 68, so it will be moved to the regular list.
38, is that right?
Mine says 68. It's the omnibus water bill.
Okay, I have Senate File 6, Senate File 16, Senate File 38.
85, and Senate Joint Resolution 5.
I have 38. Is it moved down?
38.
Oh, okay. Okay, we have Senate File 6, Senate File 16, Senate File 85 has been moved down. No, Senate File 85 and SJ5. Having been read three separate times, the question is, Chief Clerk will read the bills, or the bill reader.
Senate File 6, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Arts Council revisions, being enacted by legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 16, introduced by Senator Burns, an act relating to the state symbols regarding the state butterfly, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 85, introduced by Senator Larson, an act relating to cooperative electric utilities rate regulation, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Joint Resolution Number 5, introduced by Senator Bebout, a joint resolution requesting Congress to preserve the exemption of hydraulic fracturing in the State Drinking Water Act and do not pass any future legislation which would remove the exemption, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Okay. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan. Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 ayes. As to Senate File 6, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 ayes. As to Senate File 16, are there any changes? Stubson, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Anderson, aye to no. Harshman, aye to no. Roscoe, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Blake, aye to no. Goggles, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 51 ayes, 9 noes. As to Senate File 85, are there any changes? Jorgensen, aye to no. Stewart, aye to no. McComey, aye to no. Lockhart, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 56 ayes, 4 noes. As to Senate Joint Resolution 5, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Hales, aye to no. Stewart, aye to no. Carson, aye to no. Connolly, aye to no. Byrd, aye to no. Esquivel, aye to no. Gilmore, aye to no. Jorgensen, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Blake, aye to no. Goggles, aye to no. Barbudo, aye to no. Gingery, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 47 ayes, 13 noes.
Okay. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 6, Senate File 16, Senate File 85, and SJ 5 have passed the House. We're at that order of business bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 38.
Senate File 38, introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to the Federal Real ID Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 38 and will remove it at the appropriate time. My good colleagues, every once in a while I have to take a step back and reflect on where we've been and where we're going, and I like to push back on the federal government every now and again, and this just seems like a real opportunity to test our will and see if we're perhaps ready as a body to push back on the federal government a little bit. I have some real issues with the Real ID compliance all the way around. I know initially I thought it was a really good idea, and then as we go down this road, I just see it as basically the federal government incrementally doing away with our rights. And they do it, it's so insidious, and it just creeps up on us just a little bit at a time, and every time they bring a few more rules and regs that we have to abide by, and sometimes I think it kind of reminds me of those little doggies you see in the back of your window as you go down the line, and we just nod our head yes. And before we know it, we're there, and we've gone too far, and we're saying, what have we done? And I guess that's how I see this, the Real ID Compliance Act. I don't see this as anything that we absolutely have to do. We've gonna 8 years from September 11th. Nothing has happened. This is not imminent. It's not a necessity. And I'd just like to take a minute and point out a few things in the bill that are just really problematic, and they're just still going down that road of it's so insidious, and it's just like the stealth bomber. It just creeps up on us. So let's just go to page 5. First of all, now we're going to ask for proof of residence. Now I just ask you, how are we going to supply proof of residence? What is that going to take? What does that mean? We asked that question in Committee of the Whole, and I don't believe that we ever got an answer to that. Let's turn over to page 6. There's another one that just, to me, is just screaming out. The application is now going to include a signed declaration indicating that the information that you've provided on the application is true and correct under the penalty of perjury. Well, I don't know about you guys, but every now and again, I fudge on my weight just a little bit on that application. So, I mean, I just don't know. Where are we going with this? I mean, really? I mean, so now if everything isn't true and correct, we're going to be guilty of perjury? I mean, this whole bill is just fraught with just, you know, things that just don't make any sense to me. And then the one that I also questioned again in Committee of the Whole, and let's turn to page 8. And at the top of this, under Romanet number 3, this is what it says. The driver's license shall include, but not be limited to, the following information. And, of course, for me, for some of us, maybe not all of us, but principal residents, making that mandatory is problematic. But the one that really, really calls my attention to and just screams out is subsection J. The driver's license shall include any other information required by YDOT to comply with applicable federal law. Now, where is that going? That we have just given, if we pass this bill today, we have just given the Department of Transportation a directive that no matter what federal law, no matter what the feds come down and ask for to be put on our driver's license, we have just mandated to them basically that they have to comply. This bill is just fraught with a lot of heartburn and a lot of stuff that I just don't think at this time it's necessary that we do this. I'm going to encourage you to not pass this bill today. I'm strongly going to encourage you to not pass this bill. And I guess our good U.S. Senator today, I mean, he said it pretty well. He said, are we going to let Washington, D.C. dictate to us, or are we going to decide? And I just like to leave you with a quote from Abraham Lincoln. And he said obviously a long time ago, America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we've destroyed ourselves. And this is just a step down that road. So on in favor of the amendment and against the bill.
Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. You know, I don't think I can add a whole lot to what the good representative from House District 28 had to say. It's excellent examples, and in my time down here, I've been very concerned about some of the legislation that's moved through that particular committee, and I understand a lot of the fright and the concern about having to do this stuff, but it's always worried me that we're inching away our liberties, and if nothing else, I feel like I'm here to take a stand at least for the folks that are fighting for my country, and I think we do need to do some pushback. Thank you.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Hey, folks, this is an order from our boss, the federal government. They said do this. Are we going to do it? I hope not. This isn't a big deal. It's very incremental. But, you know, I'm just not going to accept the Nuremberg excuse that our bosses told us to do it.
Representative Jaggi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I just think this invades our privacy too much. I think it could lead to one of my near and dear things, gun control. I just think we're being tracked, being good guys. It just puts them in a position to monitor about everything we want to do. And I'm just really concerned, always have been, so I'm against this also. Thank you.
Representative Hirschman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I wasn't going to speak on this, but I think when I hear that these I hear references to World War II and the Nuremberg trials and the Nazis and those kind of things. I get a little nervous when I hear that on the floor of this House. But I would like to actually talk about what's happened with our driver's license. Any of you have flown, they take the little infrared light. They look and they can see another ID in it. So our state, of course, has already complied. Our IDs are, we were one of the first states to comply and spend the money and do that. And we have a secure ID. 19 of the hijackers, the 19 hijackers on 9/11 all had multiple driver's license from other states. Six of them had multiple driver's license from the state of Florida. And, the bottom line is we need to get around in this country for a lot of reasons, and you need to have some secure ID. We all concerned about illegal immigration. We're all concerned. But if you think that the wording in this is going to enable the federal government to track you any better than they can already track you, I mean, come on. There's folks that have technology we don't even know about, can listen to every phone call you've ever made if they wanted to. But I think this is the part about, at least that card, you are who we thought you are, right? You've heard that quote. Well, you are who we think you are. And it identifies people, and to get on airplanes, to participate in commerce, all those things. And it's a changed world. And I would just be careful, because there's folks out there who are, and that's not the boogeyman thing, but there are people, the good guys are working overtime to protect us. And you don't think there's people out there that wouldn't drive a truck into this building or do something crazy. We're fooling ourselves. So I think it's important to have a strong ID, an ID that can't be manipulated, and to make sure in this bill that the folks who are actually making the IDs and working with it are upright people and can't be, are folks who have gone through some background checks. I think it's important. And it's this tug in federalism, but there are some things, too, that I think we just can't do a knee-jerk reaction and say, throw anecdotes out there. I think it's really about the real world. So I'd resist this amendment, and we've already gone the 90% of the real ID. So to think that we're going to go back to a different driver's license or do something different, I think that horse has left the barn. So I appreciate you opposing the amendment, supporting the bill. Thank you.
Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I applaud our representative from District 28 for bringing this amendment. This has been worrisome to me, and I think that it'll do several things. I think it'll increase our ID theft. I think it's going to require more information than anybody needs to know. I think it's a backdoor to gun registration. I think it'll create a hassle and criminal offense if we're without our papers at some time. This worries me, and I urge you to vote yes on this amendment and no on the bill. Thank you.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'm not here to defend the federal government on this. However, we are dealing with law, and I want to talk about the bill that is before you. Much of the conversation I'm hearing this morning applied to 2 years ago and the bill we looked at 2 years ago. However, the Transportation Committee rejected that, as did this body. And then we have spent last summer, when I was on the Transportation Committee, it was an issue before our Joint Transportation Committee. And what you see before us, and the reason you don't hear more people defending it, is that we've had a change of chairman of that committee. We've had a change of people serving on the committee. And my memory is dimmed by a whole bunch of other bills and the fact that I'm no longer on that committee. But what I would like to remind you, as you look at the bill in front of you, it is much less onerous than what we were looking at a year or two ago. And so much of what you're complaining about was in the previous version. And what happened all across America is all of the states, or many of the states, said, federal government, we won't do this. And so the federal government said, oh, okay, you can all work at your own pace. And so the product you see in front of you is Wyoming, like other states, is slowly moving towards this end. So I want to address the specific complaints I've heard. One, we have to have a proof of residence. Well, golly, I can't show you because I'm not supposed to have props, but I just pulled out my driver's license. My residence is on it. And so I don't see what is so threatening about that. My residence is already on it. Maybe it's because it's my mailing address. But it seems to me that when people are talking about, when people get driver's licenses, do you really live in this country? Do you have a residence? That's something that you want to know. Where do you actually live? Or do you have a box number? I don't think that that is an unreasonable thing for us to have on our licenses. A lot of the rest of the bill is addressing exactly what you're talking about, and that is, if the government has my name and if they have my residence, I want to make sure that every single person who works for the Wyoming Department of Transportation has been thoroughly checked to make sure we don't get people in there who are using that information in means that we don't want it to be used. And so much of the bill is about background checking for the people who will be administering the license program. And so as we go forward, I would ask that you deal with the bill in front of you, not the ideas that you've heard about from, well, at least a year ago. And for that reason, I would recommend that if you have further specifics that concern you in this bill, we address those and not talk about the rhetoric of what we're doing as we move. And believe me, Wyoming's been moving very slowly forward on this particular thing. I'll be supporting the bill because of the testimony I heard last summer, and I would encourage the other members of the Transportation Committee to step forward to answer any more specific concerns that are raised.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I just checked. My license does not have my street address on it. It has my P.O. box number and does not tell anybody where I live. And I think that's appropriate. I wouldn't particularly, I'm not a particularly safety conscious person, but I know others who are and who would be threatened by the idea that their home address might be spread around. I'm going to vote for this amendment and against this bill because I don't believe that the federal government can protect my information any better than the state of Wyoming can. I travel by air quite a bit. There are private enterprises out there now that you can, if you travel by air, you can go through the process once, and then when you show up, if you have gone through their screening process, they provide you with a card that allows you to skip all the lines and go straight to the front and be able to get on the airplane quickly. I think those kind of initiatives that ensure the security and the convenience of the American traveler are working well and certainly sufficient. And I don't believe that we need to go this extra route. And I'm particularly alarmed by the catch-all, add any information that we, the federal government, decides is right.
Representative Jorgens.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Just quickly, three items. First one, I know many of you are concerned about illegal immigration, and you can't tell unless there's an ID that's traceable and checkable. My understanding is that in order to vote in a federal election, we all like to do that, you have to indicate your address. We have a representative here who had to go through a second election in one precinct because some folks voted in the wrong precinct or the wrong something or other, and they didn't know it, and the only way to figure it out was find out what their specific address was. Some of those boundaries, as you all know, of our legislative districts are somewhat difficult to ascertain. And the third item is, if there are problems with things, as have been pointed out in this discussion, I do not see any meaningful amendments to address those issues. I urge you to support the bill and defeat the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise on and against the bill. I think I was watching this institution while I was still in college, and it's been several years ago, but you passed a joint resolution saying that no way, no how do we want to participate in the Real ID. And here we are several years later, just ready to roll over. And I really struggle with the sovereignty issues involved. I think the founding fathers of this state would be amazed that we are sitting here today discussing just giving this up to the federal government. I don't think that's what we were elected here to do. This is a slippery slope. This may be a better bill than what we considered before, but it still is taking us down the road of giving up this piece of sovereignty to the federal government. And I wasn't elected here to do that. I don't think you were either, and I think your constituents would be really concerned at the direction that this takes us. I would urge you to vote no on the bill.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, against the amendment for the bill. In 22 years of service life, I can assure you I traveled through numerous states and various countries, and there are elements out there that have a desire to destroy the United States and the freedom and the democracy we have. The state of Wyoming doesn't have an iron border around this state. Outside entities can come into this state, and I hope that never happens. This is an attempt on a federal level to have uniformity come in so we can identify and meet these various threats that are out there, and they are real, and they're increasing all the time because with the engagement we have in Afghanistan that's going on, one way you can weaken the enemy is to attack the home base. So I would strongly recommend that we support this legislation.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. In favor of the amendment against the bill, I really appreciate those who are talking about our security, and I understand what the federal government is heading toward, and I appreciate the comments of our previous speaker, but that is the job of the federal government. They're to protect us from without, and our biggest job here is to protect our constituents, and the biggest threat we have as citizens of this free society is our liberty. That's the biggest threat we have. There's no one in this room, and the vast majority of our constituents are good people. And we're not here to get into their business and be concerned about them. The federal government's job, and we have a full-time staff. We have people in Washington. We have a military. That is their job, and they have tools to do what they need to do, and they've done a fine job of that. But our citizens' liberties are our most important job when we are here against the bill.
Anybody else for their first time?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I've had sufficient coffee and chocolate this morning to approach the microphone. And one of the concerns that I heard was how we're losing our rights. And I just wanted to take 2 minutes of the body's time and talk about this just a little bit, just to inject this into our record and have a little fun. You know, the founders of this country over 200 years ago, they designed an elegant system of governance. And one of the things that they wanted to do in that was preserve the sovereignty of the individual. Unfortunately, around 1913, the election of our senators was transferred from this body, from state legislatures, to the electorate. And I think the consequences of that we're seeing today. We saw our one of our senators up here before us telling us that he had a phone number and email that we could have access to. But in fact, had that not been the case, our senators would be firmly entwined with the management council and with this legislature. But by passing that amendment, the states were just ripped apart from having full participation with our federal government. And we are now reduced to our joint resolutions. We're reduced to the role, I would say, of timid supplicants as we try to stand up for the rights of the citizens of this state. And so I just have a real concern that we have lost this idea of how we're free, self-governing individuals, the very foundation of a Republican democracy. Now, can we strike back and reclaim some of that and recover that power for the state and for our people by rejecting this bill? Unfortunately, I don't think so. I think that's a whole new issue that we have to look at in the future. And because of that, and when I look at this bill and look at the merits of this bill and the positives over the negatives that I think we have to consider, I would urge that I come down on the side of being against the amendment and for the bill.
Representative Gilmore, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In transportation, I thought I'm against this bill. I read my emails, and it was a concern that it's a backdoor to gun control, and I'm an NRA member. But the more testimony I heard, the more I'm thinking I should be for this bill. We're not asking any more than what the state asked me to fill out just to get my paycheck from this place. I mean, I think I had to give them my mother's maiden name. So, and if you fill out a Visa card, you give them more information. Anywhere in the world, you can stick your Visa in an ATM machine, and it knows you. It knows your address. It might not know your weight, but it knows everything else about you. So to say that this is the end of the world and 1984, Big Brother's coming after you, I don't think so. I heard the testimony in transportation, and it changed my mind, and I'm kind of stubborn. So I'm against the amendment and for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Madden, you're number 15.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. You know, I had good intentions. I wasn't going to speak on this bill, but I just wanted the body to know about some critical dates. You know, I don't know whether you're talking about, you know, you just want to vote no on this from now until kingdom come, or if you're feeling a little trepidation, you want another year, or, you know, I don't know, maybe everybody's coming from a different direction that way. But we had testimony given on dates and you know, when the drop-dead date is and all this. And what has happened so far is we have applied as a state to get an extension that will not last as of today, won't last beyond December 31, 2009. However, notwithstanding that, states that are granted or have been granted an initial extension, like us, we've been granted an extension until the end of calendar year 2009, but states that are granted an initial extension may file a request before October 11, 2009 for an additional extension, okay? So keep in mind this timeline. This extension will be granted until no later than May 11, 2011, okay? It doesn't have to go that long, or we don't even have to ask for an extension that long. We might just want to go till May 11, 2010 after we've met next session. But anyway, the testimony that we got from the experts in the DOT was that, you know, we can do this, we can hold off a year, but it's going to squeeze everything together as far as getting compliant as far as the IDs are concerned. And it says, for example, before 2014, all individuals born after December 1, 1964 must possess a real ID compliant license at that time. That's 2014. So if we wait till 2011 before we kick into gear, we've got to squeeze a lot of work into a small amount of time. And then if things go the way they are now, everybody must have a real ID by 2017. All right. So it's just squeezing a time a little bit, but it isn't you know, too onerous, I don't think. You know, I guess I'm not speaking necessarily one way or another. You know, I don't like the bill. I probably will vote against it. But I just wanted the body to know that we do have some time. Certainly DOT does not want to squeeze their work into any smaller amount of time than what they've mapped with this bill they've got in front of you today. But I just thought I'd add that. Thank you.
Anybody else for the first? Representatives Wannitz or Dave?
Thank you, Speaker Pro Tem. They asked for people from the Transportation Committee to come up. Let me just tell you the one thing that was made very clear to the Transportation Committee, and that is the state will comply. This bill lets us do it gradually. If you don't want to comply gradually, then we'll have the option, because the federal government will bring the hammer down, and we're going to have to get an awful lot of work, like the fine representative just mentioned, in a very short time. So as you're voting yes or no on this bill, remember, we're going to comply one way or the other. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem.
Representative Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem. You know, if you possess a passport and you're concerned that the federal government doesn't have enough on you, and you've got a passport, guess what, folks? It's in their computers. And if you put your name into Google or search or anything on your computer, it's all there. And if you don't think your address isn't there, your telephone number, if you all just think about what's in on the Internet, and we're all concerned about, I don't like to be forced to do anything, but on the other hand, what are we worried about? It's there. On and for the bill.
Anybody else for the first time? Rep. Chairman Cohey.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I do wish to cede my first time to my second time.
Okay. Anybody else for the first time? Representative Cohey.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, can I take a rare moment of personal privilege?
Certainly.
Just to lighten things up on this floor a little bit, and taking some liberty with the use of names, my apologies for that, but what do Representatives Berger, Buchanan, Kraft, Throne, Stubson, Meyer, Cohey, and Senators Perkins, Johnson, and Hastert have in common? Now, that's the kind of a diverse crew you would admit. Wyoming is so diverse in its economics, lifestyles, and natural resources, very similar to the names I just mentioned. Our state has many blessings in its resources, mostly its human capital. One of those is the Leadership Wyoming program that our state is so blessed with. Now, in its ninth year, having nearly 400 graduates, we are honored today with the presence of the 2009 class of Leadership Wyoming. Please make them welcome.
thank you very much for coming to visit the legislature and listening to all of this great debate. And no, I mean it. It is. And we've had 18 people so far on anybody else for their first time. We could go for 20. For your second time. Representative Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I feared with my first time that anything I might say might be incendiary enough to bring another few people out of their seats. But, frankly, ladies and gentlemen, if there is anybody to blame, it is us, or simply it's our predecessors. This bill has been on our books for a number of years. Our agency that we have asked to work on it has been working on it the way that we asked them to do. This merely is a tool with get to have them move further down the road with federal compliance. It's totally up to you, but we do ask ourselves, our predecessors put this on the books. Some of us, most of us, that have been to this podium for the last 30 minutes would say, what could they have been thinking? But there are people in this room that did vote for that thing, and there are people in this room that didn't. It's so easy to pound fingers on podiums and rail at the federal government and curse about big brotherism and all that kind of thing until the things that could happen somehow do. Then many say, where was our government? Why were they not looking forward? Many people suggested that after September 11. But then this bill doesn't have anything to do with September 11. It is merely an extension of what has already been authorized. I heard it mentioned by the good representative from Hot Springs County where we have been and where we are going. Our nation is changing and the world is changing and it's a dangerous place and there shouldn't be anyone here that could not admit to that. I would be the last one in this room, in this building, to promote federalism at all. I hope you know that. But this is an interim bill that was vastly studied. It came through the committee and there are some understandings in that committee that many of you that serve on committees know go on in committee settings that often don't come here to the floor. Frankly, that's why we have committees, so that we don't have hours and hours of discussion that has already been taking place by some folks that viewed it over the summer, over the fall, and just a few days ago in a committee setting. I've never been a fireman, never been a policeman. I always thought I would like to be, but I haven't. I've never been a sheriff or a deputy, or regretfully even in the military. But readiness and safety measures are something that I do know and that I will know at the next time that our country is in crisis. We say in Wyoming that we don't want the federal government in our lives. But did you know that particularly with highways, the reasons that we have a driver's license, the reasons that we have IDs, that Wyoming receives more money per capita than any other state in the union? The residence requirement. Some have said here that I don't want my address on my driver's license. Really? A residence, a place that you live that any kid with an internet and a computer can find for him or herself? If you don't want people to know where you are, change your name or something. I guess we've had that as well. But, you know, back to the bill. This is a whole lot like arguing about buying shoelaces for a pair of shoes that we already own. Are we not moving away from the point of the bill a little bit? This simply authorizes our agency to extend a little further what was already authorized by this legislature several years ago. Some of you in this room voted for it, as I had mentioned. It probably would not be a good part of our law. Have we changed that much from then, whenever that happened, to now? Would it not be a good part of our law had a majority of those in this room wanted it at that time? The bill provides further ability for our agency to move further ahead with what has already been authorized. It simply says that you've told us to do these things. They've done what they were asked to do. They've done what they were authorized and instructed to do. This bill simply says, okay, that they've requested upon request from their federal counterparts, big brother as they may be, that here's what you need to do to move a little further down the road. They can't do that until you say that they can. If you would like to see the thing stalled and stopped at this point, I guess that is up to your vote. But at this point, all they're asking for is to do what has been strongly recommended to them by their federal counterpart, that be done, like it or not. On and against the amendment and for the bill, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Anybody else for their second time? Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Briefly, just a quote from Benjamin Franklin. Those who desire to give up freedom in order to gain security will not have, nor do they deserve either one. Again, this is not a big deal. I was probably voting for it an hour ago. But again, it's this incremental stuff that is coming down. And, you know, again, bad things don't happen overnight. They're incremental. And so on and for the amendment and against the bill.
Anybody else for their second time? Representative Corbett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly have enjoyed the opportunity to have this discussion with all of you today. Sometimes I just think it's important that we take a step back and really reflect and look at what we're actually voting on. So I guess if you really believe that passing this bill today is somehow going to stop a terrorist or someone who is truly evil, if you really think that the bill we're going to vote on is actually going to stop them from procuring a driver's license and not using it against us, then you're sadly mistaken. Because really, that we pass the laws, and the only people who really abide by the laws are law-abiding citizens, and we're the ones that go along to get along. But it's the ones who truly want to do bad things to us. They find a way around every law and every rule and every set of decency that we know about, and they're the ones that still come out on top no matter what we do. So I am pushing back, and I may very well have been one of them that supported a similar bill earlier 2 years ago, but I don't want to give our Department of Transportation the go-ahead to move forward in this direction where they can carte blanche provide on our driver's license any information. I heard no one refute that. Any information that the federal government wants to ask for, we have just said, go ahead and give it to them. I didn't hear anybody push back on this is now a perjury if you sign that application and the information is incorrect. So I really ask you to push back today. There's no downfall to pushing back today, and I'm in favor of the amendment and opposed to the bill. And Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I'll withdraw the amendment at this time.
Thank you, Madam Majority Whip. Senate File 38, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Barbudo. No. Berger. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bonner. Aye. Brechtel. No. Brown. Aye. Buchanan. No. Byrd. Aye. Kennedy. No. Kennedy. No. Carson. Aye. Childers. Aye. Cohey. Aye. Connolly. Kraft, aye. Davison, no. Dirks, no. Edmonds, no. Esquivel, no. Gilmore, yes. Gilmore, aye. Gingery, aye. Goggles, aye. Hales, aye. Hallinan, aye. Hammonds, aye. Harshman, aye. Harvey, no. Illaway, aye. Yagi, no. Jorgensen, aye. Landon, aye. Lockhart, Lubno, aye. Madden, no. McKim, aye. McComey, aye. Mercer, no. Meyer, aye. Miller, no. Millen, aye. Moniz, aye. Patton, aye. Peasley, no. Pedersen, no. Peterson, aye. Philp, aye. Korberg, no. Roscoe, aye. Semlich, no. Shepperson, no. Stewart, no. Stubson, aye. Teeters, no. Teeters? No. Thompson? No. Throne? Aye. Wallace? No. Zwanitzer Dan? No. Zwanitzer Dave? Aye. Mr. Speaker? Aye. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 36 ayes, 24 noes.
Senate File 38, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 38 has passed the House. Senate File 59.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Representative McComey.
Could I have privilege of the floor?
Let the bill reader finish reading the bill.
Senate File 59, introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to highways regarding road closure, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, in the South Gallery up here, is my wife, Patty, and my granddaughter, Amber, and her husband, Jonathan. If you'd stand. And for those of you with the 17 plate, that's where they live, Gillette.
Welcome to the legislature. Senate File 59, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gingery, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 9 no.
Senate File 59, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the House members, the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 59 has passed the House. Senate File 68.
Senate File 68, introduced by the Select Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects, omnibus water bill construction, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
And we have an amendment. Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move third reading amendment number one to Senate File 68 and will withdraw it at the appropriate time. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to take this opportunity again to take a time out on this very important piece of legislation before you today and try to explain to you hopefully why I would vote no for it, and maybe after hearing my explanation, some of you might perhaps join me in my no vote, and with full recognition that we are clearly tipping at windmills here at this moment. Clearly, the number one reason I would want to discuss this again is because what we see here today, we have included in this important legislation also another very important bill, I think. And that would be the export legislation that we will be sending water out of our state to supply environmental needs in our sister state. I want everyone to understand that it's my feeling this was a very bad policy decision on our part to allow this to occur. I really feel that this has stifled true debate on this issue. And I can tell you that a decision was made at the highest level to include this export legislation buried in the omnibus bill just so we could not debate this issue on its own merits, because there was a fear that when we had the opportunity to discuss it, that we would perhaps vote this down. I feel that clearly we should all resent that. And by being manipulated, or even perhaps thinking that we could be manipulated in that fashion, we all know how important the omnibus construction bill is. We approve projects all around our state, very important water development projects, and of course, how could we not support this work, developing this important resource? And I'm not here today to tell you to vote against these projects, and I'm not here to tell you today to vote against the export legislation. What I'm suggesting is that, at the end of the day, all we have is our votes. And clearly, I have seen many of you, and me included, vote against a bill for lesser reasons than this. That my no vote will be clearly to send a message that this should never happen again. And I'll give you some examples of that in a minute. Now, I was kind of glad to have one of our congressional delegation here today. He has said on many occasions, we can all hear these words ringing true, that how Wyoming gets it right and Washington gets it wrong. And many times we have heard the example of this. Washington many times bundles these bills, puts them all together with a lot of pork projects, and the intention for doing that is to secure I votes. That how would anyone vote against a bill that's bundled with many bills when there's a project in their district that they would support? And how it's been explained to us how we should be proud in Wyoming that we don't do this. And unfortunately, we're here today to say that, well, Wyoming used to do that. And that we don't do that in Wyoming. Unless, of course, the Select Water Committee thinks that, well, we can bundle some bills. And of course, we're left with the question, what's next? And are we going to expect next year perhaps some water-related legislation? Maybe an in-stream flow bill buried in the omnibus construction bill. Maybe some other changes to our Title 41 statutes. And I would hope that we would firmly resist that from ever happening again. Again, all we have at the end of the day is our vote. And clearly a vote against bad policy is to stand on our principles, I think, is at the highest regard for what we do. Another example I'd like to leave you with, and tie this to something very relevant in our lives today. Some of you may remember a few years ago, we basically agreed to allow wolf reintroduction into our state. Think for a minute if we had already implemented our very beneficial Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust account, what if our first wolf legislation was incorporated into a project, the project list for that bill? All of us, knowing what we know now, would say we would resist that effort. Well, what we're doing today, we are now voting on an issue of equal significance and importance to the state of Wyoming. Make no mistake about that. that really only the good news about this is that we will be discussing these North Platte issues again. As we've seen with the expansion of this wolf issue to now, we realize we have very little, if any, control over what is happening in that regard. What we're doing today by exporting this water for environmental purposes is the first step. What we are seeing is only the beginning of what can be described as the intention of complete and total control of the North Platte system for environmental purposes. They will be back again. And for that reason, is the only way I can have some comfort, because I know we will be back again to discuss these North Platte issues. They will be wanting more, and hopefully we will be able to debate that on its own merits and let it stand on its own. I would not expect anyone at this point really to vote against this bill. However, it would be interesting, of course, to see if anyone would disagree with the points I have made.
Anybody else for their first time? Anybody else for the first time? Anybody for the second time? Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I would withdraw my motion at this time.
Thank you. Senate File 68 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown. Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Gilmore.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
No.
Hallinan.
No.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon. Lockhart.
No.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson. Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Mercer? No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 47 ayes, 13 noes.
Senate File 130 having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected.
68 is the one
we
just did the
vote. Oh, Senate File 68, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 68 has passed the House. Senate File 1, hold just a sec. Representative Hammond.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, privilege of the floor, if I
privilege
may.
Privilege of the floor.
It's with great pleasure that I introduce Washakie County Commissioner Terry Wolf, who is in the south balcony. We're very proud of him in that this year, not only is he a graduate of Leadership Wyoming, but he is president of the Wyoming County Commissioners Association. And I'd like you to all welcome him.
Welcome to the People's House. Now, Senate File 130.
Senate File 130, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to child abuse penalties, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 130, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Anderson. Bagby. Aye. Barbudo. Aye. Berger. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bonner. Aye. Brechtel. Aye. Brown. Aye. Buchanan. Aye. Bird. Aye. Kennedy. Aye. Carson. Aye. Childers. Aye. Cohey. Aye. Connolly. Aye. Kraft. Aye. Davison. Aye. Dirks. Aye. Edmonds. Aye. Esquivel. Aye. Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales, Hallinan, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlett,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Anderson,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 no.
Senate File 130, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 130 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move that the House stand in recess until 2 p.m.
2 p.m.?
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Just as an announcement for those of you regarding the mileage for weekly trips home, I've been asked to tell you that you can claim the round trip for one trip each week, provided that you actually did travel home and that it's not too late to sign the claim for weeks past if you had forgotten to do that. So,
okay, thank you. Committee Chairman announcements. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee appropriations number two, I would like to have the committee meet upon noon recess to finish up one of the re-referred bills that we had this morning. So if we could just all meet in appropriations upon adjournment here, that would be good. And then also, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to remind folks that if you've not signed up for the Governor's Prayer Breakfast, you can still do that today by taking a contribution down to the Governor's office. And that, again, is on Friday, February 27th at 7 a.m. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, your committee number four, Education. We'll meet upon adjournment now, let's say 10 minutes after 12. We'll meet in room H10, where we will take up Senate File Engrossed number 89, Fallen Heroes Endowments.
Representative Millen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I wanted to remind everyone of the blood drive today that's going on in the Herschler Building until 2 p.m., and one thing you get if you give blood, you get a free cholesterol test done. And with all those donuts we've been having, I think you need that.
Good advice, Representative Millen. Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Point of personal privilege, please.
Granted.
Whenever making a list, you know, like you're going to the grocery store and you forget the eggs or the butter or some of the important things and then you always have to go back. Well, I'm back. I had mentioned a list of the members on this House floor that had attended the Leadership Wyoming program over the number of years and forgot one. Our Representative Millen is a proud member, and I so wish to recognize her at this time.
Yeah. All right. Further committee... Representative Landon. Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, your committee number 10, Labor, will meet at adjournment up in our committee room and grab a bite of lunch, and then we will meet in 302 to hear Senate File 24, Healthcare Access Program.
Chairman Cohey.
Point of personal privilege, Mr. Speaker.
Granted.
You know when you go to the hardware store and you forget to get the hammers and the nails and things you need, and every now and then you forget one of the important members of the leadership Wyoming class, which I did, one of my best friends from my class was Representative Goggles. Is there anyone else that I have forgotten?
Anybody else that we forgot?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Okay. Further committee announcements. Hearing none, we'll stand adjourned until 2 p.m.